Where will you find another Savior like Jesus Christ? So powerful and so loving, so omnipotent and so sympathizing. And I can't understand how, if you've heard about him, and if he is nudging you now, and he's saying to you, it's true, you know, what this guy with a funny accent is saying to you. It's true. It's true. You need a Savior. And not just any Savior, but this Savior. Because he is so, so great. So great. And without him, there's going to be a future. You're on your own, son. You're on your own, girl. As you make the big decisions in your life about who you're going to marry and what you're going to do and how you're going to work and what's going to be fun, you're on your own. And when you get ill and when you're lonely, you're on your own. And when you're dying, if you don't take my Savior, just you. And an appalling eternity. And this great Savior. And he's brought me here and he's brought you here. And we're talking about him, aren't we? We're just ordinary people. And we're not very beautiful people. We're not very smart. We're not very wealthy. All we've got to share with the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're inconsistent, we're sorry, we're not as patient and loving and caring as we should be, and we're sorry about that. But we don't preach ourselves. We're not your answer. And all this congregation put together, with all the talents and the gifts that they have, they're not your answer. This is not your answer. He is your answer. This wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, we want you to know him as your Lord and Savior by reading the Bible, listening to the preaching, sitting under the ministry, and reading the books and the leaflets and so on that we give you. We want you to think about these things. We want you to know him because we want you to make an intelligent response. You've been edified. You've learned about Jesus Christ from what we tell you, so that you know who he is. Jesus is worthy of your mind, of your intellect. Bring your mind with you every Sunday when you come here. We want you to know him. But we want you to submit to him. But if he's going to be your Savior, he's also going to be your Lord. And you can't separate the two. You know, I marry people and I stand here and she comes down the aisle and he's there glowing in anticipation and she looks so lovely. And then I say to her at one point in the service, do you take him to be your loving husband? You take him now to be your husband? And she doesn't think, well, I'll take his credit cards. And I'll take his car, and yeah, but I don't take his dirty washing. And I don't want to be the mother of his children. And if she said that, I would say, right, I pronounce you man and wife. I can't say that, can I? Because she's going to take him as her husband. The two are going to become one flesh. And there's a special relationship between the two. And so I've told you about this wonderful Savior. And he's a wonderful Lord too. And if you're going to become a follower of Jesus Christ, he doesn't take his crown off before he comes into your heart and life. He comes with his crown, and his crown rights over you, over all the big decisions that you have to make. This Savior, he'll forgive your sins. Isn't that wonderful? The great chains that bind you to your past, and the things that make you blush and you groan at 2 o'clock in the morning as you remember the people you've hurt. And he'll forgive you. He'll forgive you, yes. But he comes as your Lord. And you can't separate what God has joined together. Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he's here and he comes into your life for you from now on to serve him. And if there are some things that are tremendously precious to you, your mind, your love of music and sport, your relationships, you can't keep them from him. The dearest idol you've known has to go. You have to give it over to Jesus Christ, this Savior, who is also the Lord. You have to hand them to him. And then he'll do something wonderful. He'll give them back to you, but no longer will they be lording it over you. And you can have them, but they are then in a servant's role. So you can keep your interest in cameras and photography, and your interest in music and sport and all the things that we are interested in, God's creation gifts. You're not going to serve them. You're not going to live for them. You're going to live for him, this great Savior who has come into your life now as your Lord. And you bow to him. And you receive him. You can receive him now, where you are. Just sitting and listening to me and thinking about all I've said to you about the great Jesus Christ. And you can think, yeah, it's about time I stop sitting on the fence. And stop putting it off until another Sunday. But I'll have him. I must have him. A friend of mine was talking to a Scottish farmer named Douglas McMillan. And Douglas didn't want to come to evangelistic meetings. David spoke to him and spoke to him. Look, he said. In this hand, I've got everything that you have as a farmer and as a Highland wrestler and as a good Scotsman, and your health and strength and all your future, it's there. And in this hand, I have Jesus Christ. Which one are you going to take? It's the same decision that faces you this morning. Are you going to have all that this world has to offer? Is that, I want that. Or are you going to take this great, sympathetic, divine, tender, loving Savior, Jesus Christ, for now and ever? Which one are you going to have? Which one? You've got to choose. You must choose. He says he's your God. He's your God. He's your Lord. Which one are you going to choose?
This is an excerpt from the full sermon, The Greatness of Jesus Christ, His Person, Part 1.